Hi everyone, and welcome to another edition of Backstory. I'm Dana Lewis. For parents, nothing is more important than the well-being of your kids. And I've got two of them, two boys, Daniel and Alex, and both went to summer sleepover camps. I was a camper, then a counselor. I taught riding and did canoe trips and swam and made campfires and had a great time. Camps are amazing because that's where kids get to get some independence and some nature and freedom. And they get to get away from us. Camping is not as exclusive as you may think. There are 12,000 camps in the U.S. alone, including 7,000 overnight camps and 5,000 day camps. Roughly 7 million children in North America participate in some form of camp, sleepaway camp, and day camp. So now it's 2020, the year of COVID-19, and camps are canceled. You could say that summer is canceled for kids who love camp. The loss is not something you can put a statistic on. It's emotional, psychological, for parents and kids. And it's part of being a child, and an aspect of parenting, I think, is of huge benefit. And I want to talk about kids and summer and COVID-19. And who better to talk to about all of this than someone who has run a camp for decades? No letters home this year. It's stay at home.
Dear Mom and Dad, I was a little nervous getting off the bus. But then I met my cabin.
Dear Mom and Dad.
So let's hook up with my favorite camp in Ontario, Canada, Camp White Pine, about 2 hours north of Toronto, not only to talk camp, but most important, let's talk about kids and children and how they're feeling and affected by this pandemic. The camp director and owner is Adam Cronick, and he joins me now north of Toronto where the wind is blowing gently through the pine trees. Don't tell me it's a rainstorm right now. I have the memory of a glassy lake and a good smell of pine, and I want to be there.
Well, today the sun is shining, the lake is glass, and it could not be more beautiful. It is like a picture perfect day, and we're enjoying it the best we can. Absolutely. It's exactly as you remember it and imagine it, Dana.
How long has your family had that camp?
My father started the camp in 1956.
1956. Wow.
Yes, this would be our 65th year of camping, and you know, he was a pioneer, of course, and I know you remember him. And he along with a few other camps started in that time frame in Ontario and in the Eastern Seaboard of the States, and they were really pioneers. They started from scratch, and they developed philosophies and lifestyles and ways of living that have endured.
I should say, because you're referring to me now, I should say that I was a counselor there. I taught the riding program. That's and right. I was a camper when I was a kid. And I believe in getting kids out of cities and up into pine forests and doing all sorts of things that we're going to talk about. But Camp White Pines, I think is one of the best camps in the world. But there are 400,000 campers in Ontario. Is that right?
That's right. There's about 400,000 campers who go to overnight camps, accredited overnight camps in Ontario. And there are many, many different types of camps. That has changed a lot in recent years. It's an experience. It's a lifestyle that families becomes embedded in families' cultures, you know, and it's been that way for decades.
Is camp canceled?
Camps, yes. Camps, the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, announced camps, overnight camps are canceled in Ontario for this year. Day camps actually are allowed to open with a set of guidelines that have been put out by the Chief Medical Officer of Health. But overnight camps are canceled in Canada. And in the United States, the only place I know of offhand, and I'm not exactly sure about the accuracy, but the only place that camps may possibly open is Maine. Most other states, Andrew Cuomo in New York announced the overnight camps are not opening this summer. So basically, for the most part, camps are shut down, yes.
Does that just break your heart this year?
You know, it's been an emotional roller coaster for everybody. It's hard to put into words how we feel.
I'm going to make you do that.
Pardon me?
I'm going to make you do that.
So. Yes. Well, it's you know, I mean, as I said, for 65 years, our camp has been running, and I've been here for 60 of them, and it's almost surreal and unimaginable. I think, you know, obviously it was a gradual process coming to this stage, so we weren't shocked, but we were still shocked. To put it mildly, to watch the impact. I have a 27-year-old son and a 24-year-old daughter who are in work with me in camp as well. With my wife, it's very much a family business. To see the impact on them was, the passion, and it was unbelievable. And then the biggest thing for myself, and I really can speak for other camp directors because I know they've experienced the same thing, to see the impact on our camper families and how much it means to them and how passionate these families are. I say that, you know, our kids, the kids who come to camp, it's almost like in their DNA from birth. Their parents have talked to them about camp, and they start going on days and weekends when they're young kids, to see how emotional and how hard it has hit them is really, it's been heartbreaking, but also, you know, warming to our hearts and to see it. We realize they love it and it impacts their lives so much.
If you've never been to camp, well, I mean, first of all, people who don't understand camp culture, there are 6 million in the U.S. alone, kids that go to camp. And so there are millions of children that do this. They do it in Europe as well, in Switzerland and other places. But, you know, people wait all year to see some of their camp friends that come up from all over the place or from different countries and different places. And then if you have never been there for the last day of camp, there are a lot of tears as people say goodbye again and wait for the next year.
Absolutely. You know, typically kids start at our camp, and many camps, they start going to camp when they're about 7 or 8 years old, and they often go right through until they're on staff, often for 4, 5, 6 or longer years. And so when they hit their 13th year at our camp, they get their lifetime achievement award. And every year we have, you know, we could have 10 to 15 people getting it. People go forever. I mean, as I say, once they become staff, it's the best job they'll ever have.
Well, look at you, camper in chief.
Exactly. When I graduated from grad school, my grandfather said to me, you have the best job of anybody in your graduating class. Until this year, he was probably right.
So financially, I know you guys own your camp, and I assume you're in good, solid ground. But, I mean, there are other camps that will struggle with this.
We will all struggle. I mean, in our industry, in the camping industry, I assume for day camps as well, but certainly we all have a lot of fixed costs. You know, all year long, we're building buildings, we're taking care of the site, we have office staff, we have maintenance staff, and we have insurance. We have all sorts of fixed costs that are very, very high, a high portion of our costs. And for almost for 2 years, we're running our operation without any income. So yeah, it's very financially challenging for many camps, for all camps. And, you know, I think, I hope and think most will make it through, but it's going to take years to recover, and where we will be in a year or two, we don't know as well. So it is a very big challenge for sure.
Look, I consider you, and this will, it'll get you to raise your eyebrows probably, I consider you a child psychologist. I know you're not a licensed one, but you probably know more about kids than just about anybody I've met, because you have had thousands of them.
Yeah.
And how do you think kids are feeling right now in the wake of this COVID-19, and not in the wake of it, we're still in the middle of it.
Right. Right. Well, my wife actually is a social worker, and she's probably the better one to answer that question. But that being said, I mean, I think we all know, you know, the impact of being with their parents for so long, being isolated from their kids, from their friends, and being at home for now. I mean, we're on to our fourth month, I guess, at home, third, fourth month. And, you know, it's devastating for the kids. They, you know, the kids' mental health, the impact on them is truly astronomical, and they need to have the social experiences of being outdoors, being with, you know, relating to their peers, being in school, being at camp. And it is, the negative impact is, will be, you know, will be very challenging and very hard.
What is the great experience for kids when they go to a camp? Because, you know, I've read lots of psychological yeah. articles about, you know, parents these days don't allow their kids to kind of be independent. You know, we spend too much time taking them here and managing their life from hour to hour. And, you know, there's an example of the little girl who falls over in the park and their parents come running over right away rather than just kind of let her sit there for a minute, know that she's okay and that she can get up on her yeah. own. And yeah. I think that's what a lot of kids do in camp. They get up on their own in all sorts of ways.
That's right. And, you know, I use a saying, I think as the world changes, camp is the one place that stays the same. And the values and the philosophies that my father started, you know, 65 years ago still exist today. You know, and as the world becomes more technological, with parents who are more, who are over involved, let's say, whether they're
guilty.
Helicopter parents.
Guilty, guilty.
we're all guilty. We all are. Or they're snowplow parents. You know, camp is the one place where they can get back to what really matters, you know, where the kids can go and learn how to talk to their friends and work through differences, learn how to collaborate, cooperate, learn how to live together with staff members, giving, you know, working with them and giving them advice and supporting them, and learn how to feel good about themselves as individuals. So, you know, when they, at our camp, we our canoe trips are mandatory. So each cabin group goes out with trippers and their counselors, and they have to go on a cabin canoe trip. And it's the one thing that kids complain about more and more than more than anything else. And of course, when they come back, they say that was great. And we know they need to. They need to sleep on a route. They need to experience the uncomfort, the discomfort of being in a tent and having it rain and the tent getting wet, and to work through these things together as a group and be away from their iPads and phones and technology. So, you know, camp is the one place where they really grow as individuals and have fun, make lifelong friends, but, you know, get away from the world and are able to be themselves and let loose and enjoy. And it's so special in that way. And that's what I hope never changes.
Do you think kids are less resilient now? Are kids in 2020 different than when you and I went to camp as campers?
Yes, for sure. I mean, there's no question. I think as parents, we you know, coddle our kids a lot, and we need to let them, as you say, fall and get dirty and roll around and get up and move on and continue to play. And so it's hard. As a society, we're very much, not just parents, but we're all over involved and we're all judging every detail. And the kids are worried about things that they don't need to be worried about, hopefully. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they are less resilient, but naturally when they get to camp, they start to build resiliency, as you say, and they become that way. And I think the people, that's why, you know, the people who end up working on staff and continuing on, they are incredible adults. They learn so much about working, as I said, collaborating and being resilient, strong human beings. So, you know, society pushes us away from resiliency, but I think activities like camp and others, you know, build it back up.
So all those parents who normally send their kids to camp and get a couple of months off, you think they're going to have a big taste of resilience this summer?
That's right. No, there's no question. This is having a big impact, not just on the kids. There were a lot of canceled plane tickets, that's for sure.
So how do you give that to your kids if you can't, you know, if they're not going to be in cabins and, you know, pushing paddles through the water and getting up off the ground with a portage canoe on their shoulder? And how are parents going to try and give that to them in the summertime? What do you recommend?
It's really hard. I mean, obviously a lot depends on if they're able to get out of the house as well. I mean, we all try and work with our kids and develop resiliency within the home, but, you know, the more experiences they can have outside the home that do so, or the better. I mean, you know, for some older kids, you know, I've talked to parents about things they can do, and whether it's getting a job or we have some of our CIT boys this summer, some of our 16-year-old counselor and training campers want to do a run to camp, like a Terry Fox type run, where about six of them, they bring vans and they rotate and do a whole thing raising money for charities. They have to find experiences that challenge them in ways that they're uncomfortable with, but also where they can grow and learn. So it is hard. It is definitely hard.
Adam, I want to leave you smiling, and we wish you the very best. I'm a big fan of Camp White Pine and outdoor experiences for kids, and I know you will survive, and you will be back next year, and stay light of heart as much as you can in the COVID-19 situation.
Well, thank you very much, Dana, and all the best to you and your family and everyone there, and our hearts are with you, and thank you.
Thank you, Adam. All right, from Northern Ontario to England and Kent, and we meet Dr. Lindsay Cameron, who is a senior lecturer in psychology and the director of education in the School of Psychology. Hi, Dr. Cameron, how are you
today? Hello, hi.
So you're studying how children become social beings, is what I've read, and how they develop social knowledge and skills that us adults take for granted. Do you want to give me the top five?
Things that we take for granted: how to make friends, how to problem solve, how to make decisions, how to sort of take the perspective of someone else, and how to control your emotions. It's another one.
Okay. Yeah. Us adults need to do all of that too. So, but I mean, here we are in the middle of a pandemic. And it has really hit kids hard, I think, as a parent. Do you have kids yourself?
I do. I have three. Right,
I've got two boys. So it's probably the same situation, given on different ages, that kids have suddenly not been able to graduate, or kids have not been able to see their friends for, at least 2 months. And that must have a toll socially on them.
Absolutely. I mean, social interaction is so important for children's development. It's important for us adults, but it's so important for children. And depending on the age of your children, this pandemic is having a different effect on them. So, if you've got, I don't know how old your kids are, but I've got a 2-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 10-year-old. I'd say out of all of them, the 7-year-old is probably found it the hardest, because chatting on Zoom doesn't really happen for a 7-year-old boy. It doesn't really do anything for him in terms of friends. He wants to play with his friends. He wants to interact with them. And that's what he's really missing.
So is this just a little holiday and a little break in that social development? Or do you think it has long-lasting effects on kids?
I think it depends how long it's got to go on for. Here in the UK, our schools haven't been in for a few months now. And I don't know what's going to happen in September yet. So we're kind of...
my kids are going back to school next week. One of them, the 12-year-old, goes back next week. So he does get some school.
I think we might find, for those kids that are, in a good position at home, who've got a lot of support, they'll go back to school and things will go back to normal for them. It's difficult for those more vulnerable kids that haven't got the support at home. It's going to be harder for them to catch up and get back to normal.
So how do parents fill that gap?
I think one of the best things that parents can do is try and play like a kid. So think about what your children enjoy doing. What do they like to play? How do they like to play? What games do they like to do? And try and play with them like you're a kid as well. Because that's what
that's interesting, because I saw you wrote about that. You wrote about that. You said, like, drop your parenting
just for a little while,
for a minute, and get down on your hands and knees and just play like another kid with your children.
I think that would really help kids, even just for a little while. Just try and, just get involved, enter their world for a little while. And I think that would help them, because what they're really missing is that sort of joint play, with another child, where they're just making up games, making up the rules, imaginary play, rough and tumble play. They're really missing all of that.
So in Canada, and in the United States and in some parts of Europe, camping is a huge thing, where kids go to overnight camps, and those camps have been canceled to the point that some kids say summer has been canceled. I mean, they take it very emotionally, because they see friends there year by year, they are away from us. They get away from their parents and they do things on their own. And people say, you know, that really builds resiliency. Do you agree with that? That kids have to get away from their parents a bit.
I think that free play, unstructured play, whether it's, you know, in school and playtime, playing out after school or at camp, is so important for children's development. It's just essential for so many skills, personal, social, cognitive skills, developing understanding of emotions, you know, so many things that they develop. And it's just so important. And they enjoy it. You know, it's fun. It brings a lot of joy into their life. But the key thing is that interaction away from, you know, parents who provide structure. And it really, actually playing effectively with children without your parents around or adults around requires a lot of skills that children have to develop. And so I could see how camp would actually force children to develop those skills because they want to play, they want to interact with other kids. And so they have to develop these skills to be able to do it on their own without parents around. And these skills are really important.
You know, I'm sure you've heard the term helicopter parents. I learned a new one this week from my Canadian friends, and that is snowplow parents. So we don't have snow in England, but that's, you know, you push everything out of the way of your children. You do everything for them. And same with helicopter parents. You're constantly hovering over them and organizing their lives and making things easy for them. So maybe we make it a bit too easy, and that's why all of this discussion about how they spend their summers is really important.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I do that too. Of course I do. I'm sure I'm a helicopter, snowplow, parent, all those things. But there's a few different reasons why kids are spending. So we know that kids are spending less time, have less free play, less unstructured playtime with other children. It's one of the reasons is parents are worried about crime. They're worried about letting their kids out to play and just themselves without any adults around. There's much more structured activities. There's pressure academically, you know, so parents feel a pressure to not let their kids go out and play or to just have that free play time. So I can understand why parents do it, and I do it as well. But it is important to understand that free play time with unstructured play without adults hovering around is really important. It's when kids learn to sort of manage other children, to kind of manage interactions effectively, to control themselves so they can carry on the game, to control their emotions. They learn to make decisions. These are all things that you need to get along with people. And if your parents are always there, then, you know that you can always go to them and say, you know, so-and-so's done this to me, so-and-so's not playing my game. If your parent is not there to sort things out for you, you have to learn to sort them out for yourself. And that is a good skill for children to have. I know that my two older kids can be playing along really well together, really nicely. As soon as I come in that room, they're all about, so-and-so did this, he did that. A minute ago when
I'm glad
there,
I'm glad to know that somebody else is in that movie.
Yeah, so sometimes it's good to step back and let them just get on with it, and they can rise to the challenge a lot of the time.
So is this attached to time in terms of development? Is this just okay, so you know, you take this 2 months out of kids' lives, or you take maybe even a summer out of their lives, and they will pick up and they will eventually just fill that in, and it's on a delayed fuse how they bridge those social gaps? Or do you feel that something is potentially lost here because weeks roll into months, and maybe some of this rolls into a year or more?
I think it just depends on how long this is all going to go on for. I think you know, a few months for a three-year-old in proportion is much more than it is for, you know, a 12-year-old, 15-year-old. So, I do think that people will, once they get back to school, their usual routine with their peers, they'll be able to get back to normal, and those skills will come back. Younger kids, yeah, they might take a bit longer to kind of get used to interacting with other people again. I think that'll be quite hard actually for all the ages, because younger kids might think they're going back to school and it'll all be like it was before, but that's important to let them understand that it might not be. they won't be able to interact with their peers like they did before. They're going to have to change the way they play a bit in terms of social distancing and so on.
Last word on all of this, as the summer of 2020 presents itself to us in very unusual terms.
Let's look forward to summer 2021, when hopefully we'll be able to do all those fun things that we are really looking forward to.
Dr. Lindsay Cameron, thank you so much from Kent University. Great to talk to you. And that's this edition of Backstory. I hope your family is safe and happy, and summer is not really cancelled. We'll make the best of it. And from London, you know they always say here, keep calm and carry on. Talk to you soon.